It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Several big education stories are percolating in the Texas legislature. A Senate committee voted today to retool the way state universities are funded, and the Texas Tribune reports that each university would lose 6 to 10% of its state money under the plan. That's actually good news for some smaller schools. Several had been facing reductions of more than 50% in an earlier version of the Senate budget, but it could cost the big schools millions of dollars. That committee also voted to defund Governor Greg Abbott's signature pre-kindergarten program. There's a long way to go before either of those proposals become law. Meanwhile, the chairs of the House and Senate Education Committees filed bills that would change the accountability system that gives local districts and schools letter grades from A to F. That's been a lightning rod issue for local educators. Sponsors say the changes are designed to ease their concerns. You can dig deeper into all three of those stories on our website, KERANews.org. The NCAA basketball tournament kicked off this afternoon. Hopefully your bracket isn't destroyed yet. There are only three teams representing the state of Texas this year: SMU, Baylor, and Texas Southern. And as KERA's Gus Contreras reports, all three play tomorrow.
March Madness brings out the best and worst in sports fans.
Well, it's really just a parody and the unknown. So anybody can win. It's anybody's game.
That's Darwin Johnson. He took a long lunch to catch some of the action. Johnson was watching Notre Dame versus Princeton, a game that came down to the final minute.
I almost saw an upset, but no, that Notre Dame game, I thought that was going to be an upset, but no, not really.
In the end, the Irish advanced. SMU is one of the hottest teams heading into the tournament, with 16 straight wins. They play the University of Southern California, 4.5 hours away in Tulsa. Coach Tim Jankovic is pleased with the draw.
So happy that we were lucky enough to get a venue that was really close by so our fans could get here, but even more excited for our players, the opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament again, and, you know, after some of the heartache from last year. So
the Mustangs are back in the tourney after being barred for a year for academic fraud. That's what cost previous coach Larry Brown his job. SMU plays an unusual style. They only use 6 players. Most teams rotate 8 or more. Darwin Jackson's a fan.
I like SMU, actually. They're one of my dark horse teams, but we're going to see what's going to happen. I mean, they have the good defense. They got a good team concept, so we're going to see.
Baylor's also playing in Tulsa. At one point this year, the Bears were ranked #1 in the country. They play New Mexico State. Baylor coach Scott Drew says it's tough when your season comes down to just one game.
Doesn't matter what you're seated, what you're ranked, what people say. In 40 minutes, that's the beauty of March Madness. It's not a best out of 7 series.
Texas Southern from Houston has the biggest hill to climb. They'll play #1 seed and basketball powerhouse North Carolina on Friday afternoon. Gus Contreras, KERA News.
Public radio listeners might recognize Amy Dickinson as a frequent panelist on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. For nearly a decade and a half, people across North America have turned to her for advice in the syndicated column called Ask Amy. Today on Think, Dickinson told Chris Boyd why she thinks advice columns still work.
When somebody writes to me about a challenging relationship, I direct my answer directly to them, but I know based on the responses I get that it resonates with hundreds of people. There is this this uncomfortable fascination with other people's problems. That's one reason a lot of us read advice columns. But in the course of sort of laughing at somebody else's petty problem, you may see something that has more direct relationship to you. And I genuinely believe that it helps a lot of people.
Amy Dickinson's new book is called Strangers Tend to Tell Me Things, a memoir of love, loss, and coming home. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. When he's not rock climbing, Dallas artist Jason Mell is often creating bronze sculptures. Bronze casting is one of the oldest metal crafts around, yet it remains a tricky, messy, even dangerous process. Every week in the Artist Spotlight, we explore the personal journey of a North Texas creative. This week, Art and Seek's Jerome Weeks joined Jason Mell at a noisy Arlington foundry.
We're at what's called a pour. That's when hot, liquid bronze gets poured into hollow plaster casts. Inside the casts, the bronze will cool and form the separate pieces of a metal sculpture. We're at Schaefer Art Bronze Casting in Arlington, one of the only local foundries still doing this work.
So this is the part where it's nice to be able to defer to people that are more skilled at certain things than me.
Artist Jason Mell has been crafting bronze sculptures like this since returning to Dallas 3.5 years ago. He watches as men with welder's masks and coveralls hook big tongs to the pot inside the furnace. That pot is the crucible, brimming with liquid bronze, heated to more than 2,000 degrees. A chain winch helps them lift the 300-pound crucible over to the open-mouthed casts. Carefully, the men tip the crucible and splash glowing metal into each cast. This isn't like putting paint on canvas. It's hard industrial labor. Of the 300 or so artists Schaefer Casting works with, only about 30 are regularly involved in the process, and only 10 are like Mel, creating abstract contemporary works. Most just shape the original figure and then hand it over to these guys. They do all the casting, welding, grinding, and polishing.
Each step is its own skill set, so I have to ask questions constantly. Luckily, I'm not afraid to, because I can fall back on the, sorry, I didn't go to art school. How do you do this?
Yes, Mel's degree from Stephen F. Austin State University is in environmental science, not art. The 39-year-old artist is self-taught and still learning, yet he's had solo shows in Houston, Dallas, Austin, and Korea, and he's the director of the artist's residency at the Fairmount Hotel in Dallas. Even now, Mel remains a passionate environmentalist. He'll just disappear into the woods. He spent a college semester living in a tent. He's wandered through Indonesia, Costa Rica, and Vietnam. He's lived out of a truck.
I don't really own any furniture. I own as little as possible.
Mel went to the rugged Joshua Tree National Park for a few days and spent a year there as a rock climbing guide.
Jason's a rock climber because it's probably the safest looking sport that is really trying to kill yourself all the time.
Phyllis O'Quinn became friends with Mel in Korea in 2010 when they were both teaching there. During his 5 years in Korea, Mel shifted from environmental scientist to sculptor. As long ago as high school, he says, he'd fooled around with ceramics. But in Korea, he learned casting from the Korean master Shin Park.
I always thought I could focus on my art when I got older, but I realized if I don't do it now, I'm never going to have the time.
So Mel plunged into art making. Not surprisingly, his sculptures resemble natural shapes, driftwood, fossils, weathered rocks. His artworks can be beautiful, but also creepy. They look like bones, or they're trussed up in chains. He wants an element of surprise in his art, like you've spotted something on a beach but aren't sure what it is yet. O'Quinn says that Mel, in his art and his life, was more or less winging it.
I wouldn't say winging it, but I know that that's what he would say. I would say playing with fire.
Mel is the artist as both risk taker and problem solver.
Almost everything I do would be considered a mistake.
He works intuitively, impulsively, but also with intense focus, like an investigator. O'Quinn says these days Mel's more organized. He has to be, working in a complicated, costly process like bronze casting. Mel says he's come to realize he needs art, travel, and wilderness in his life. That's the balance he seeks now. Art, travel, and wilderness. 2 weeks after the pour, Mel headed off to Colorado. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
You can watch a video of the bronze pour at artandseek.org/spotlight. While you're there, check out other profiles of North Texas artists. For the evening, should be mostly cloudy later tonight, a low around 63. Tomorrow, cloudy, a high near 78. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, low around 61. It's currently 73 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 70 in Tyler, and 76 in Wichita Falls. At 6:30, this is KERA News.